Now I've got me all distracted from what we're doing with this app advice thing.
Good. Got you off your game. That's what I live for.
It would be funny if you had an app on the App Store that just constantly posted your location, and you could call it the Phil Tracker.
Yeah, everyone would want to see that.
The world over is obsessed with music, especially this time of the year. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, and depending on when you're listening to this, we may be in the greatest musical transition slash event of the millennium, or at least this year. And yes, I'm talking about the Eurovision Song Contest. Welcome, Philip, to this momentous occasion and the greatest show song you've never heard podcast.
Hey, the greatest song, greatest show on earth, the greatest song you've never heard on earth. I don't know. Thank you for the welcome.
Sorry, I'm stumbling over my words today because I've been dealing with spreadsheets and receipts and charges and a bunch of like stuff, accounting things that I'm just glad to not be dealing with right now and talking to you about the greatest songs no one's ever heard.
It's so funny because I was wondering why your eyes are so bugged out.
it's
now I know. Yeah. Yeah. Excellent.
It's not genetic. Well,
perfect. No, not today anyway.
No. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm doing fantastic. I was going to ask what you
got for us, but we haven't even like gotten to the place where we talk about what's going on. Anything exciting happening in your life that our listeners should know about?
Well, just the fact, you know, whenever this drops, I'm pretty sure the sun is out now, and I love that. Mm. This is my wheelhouse, my time of year. I love it. Mm. Yep.
I'm right there with you. Baseball's in full swing. The sun is out. It's a good time of the year.
The Mariners are aggravating. It's just par for the course.
That is true. That is true. Well, I'm excited for your song today. For those of you who don't listen often or have never listened before, if you're a new listener, welcome. We're glad you're here. This is a show that came out of a conversation Phil and I had around those songs that you have in your life that you like, this song is so amazing. How come everybody doesn't know this song? We've all got them. And so Phil and I have an extensive collection of those songs. And so we are going to listen to one of Phil's songs today that he thinks is one of the greatest songs that you've never heard as a listener. Now, that doesn't mean no one's ever heard it. It means that the majority of people listening will have never heard this song before. And we talk about what makes that song great, why that song isn't more readily known, if there's a reason for that, and what we think about it. And I, today, listener, I'm going to be listening to this song for the first time with you. I've never heard this song before. I don't know what we've got. And that's what we'll be doing. Sorry for monopolizing.
No, I'm like, first time ever, in theory, because we all know Phil has, from time to time, maybe just once, thrown out a song that he got confused. It's a song that everybody had heard.
That's true. Well, I'm going to tell you, in a couple of weeks, I have a song that I guarantee you will think you've heard hundreds of times.
Is that
but
right?
But you haven't. You haven't.
We call that a tease in the biz.
It is a tease.
This song is off an album that was a groundbreaking album. This is 44 years old. So, wow. Chris, 3 years before you were born.
This song is having a midlife crisis right now.
Is that right? That's right. That's right. I said 3 years before you were born. I can't remember when you were born, so I don't know if that's true.
I'll take 44. I'm good with that.
Okay, fair enough. this song, so I know you're very lyric-driven.
Yes.
That's not this song.
Okay.
But to me, it's very music driven, and it throws a little fun in there as well. A couple, 3 weeks from now, when it's my turn to throw a song out there, it will be lyric driven. So, should we hear today's?
Let's hear it.
Let's do it.
Hunger for some Paris or Berlin. the snow and fire. Will sweet karaoke love you? You're Superman, gonna do the super best you can to free the pearl. Giving you the superness that he can do. Believe me, girl. Every day your need is higher. But love is not Chicago or LA. Home is where your heart's on fire. And where that restless snowbird melts away. Easy, easy, let your love ring out. Congo or L.A. Home is where your heart's on fire. Can't deny this love is here to stay. Easy, easy, let your love ring out. And my love in noon Tuesday. Easy, let your love ring out. And my love in noon Tuesday. Ain't it easy, let your love ring out.
Philip.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Philip. Philip. This song has so many things going through my brain right now. I don't even know quite where to start with this song. And that sounds negative. It's not.
No, I know there. I know that there are very cliche aspects to this song, and I gave it to you. I mean, I gave it to you on a silver platter when it was recorded, and you should hear that within the recording. But
oh, yeah,
I mean, I can't not love the song. this song gets me going every time.
So this would put it around 81, is that right? Or 84?
Yeah. 81. Yep.
Okay. There's so many things in the song that I can't even start to talk about. Like, first off, the opening sounds and vocalizations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the opening line being, let me pull this. I have it right here. The opening line is,
"Yesterday you left Brazil and went away to see the world."
So the first thing you hear is a guy sound making monkey sounds. And then you left Brazil. And I'm like, this is the kind of like setup in a song that 30 years later gets you canceled.
Yeah, maybe. I'll tell you what, though. I never even put two and two together on that at all, because I know this artist and what he's capable of. And I just thought that was him doing him. So,
yeah.
But that's so a great. Saying,
are you being racist right now?
Yes.
So
can I just tell you something real quick, completely off the subject, and then I'll rein you back in. We have a chimney issue here at the house where the cap has the cement cap has kind of been it's almost gone. So I was asking on Facebook if anyone knows of any good chimney repair company, someone that can repair the chimney other than Blacks. And because Blacks is a company around here that does chimney work.
Wow.
And I had like one or two people who knew me were like, "Wow, if I didn't know you, that would sound really racist." And I'm like, "Oh my God, no, Blacks chimney repair." So anyway, when you said that, I had to just tell you that story. Okay. Hilarious. That is hilarious. Back to, no, I'm not racist. And I just know what this guy's capable of. And now that you mentioned that, those sounds in relationship with that first line, that's funny. That's really interesting. I'm not sure if he designed it that way, but.
The other thing about this song that stuck out to me is I felt like I should be wearing a leisure suit in order to wear it, to listen to it. Like, I'm inappropriately dressed to listen to this song. Not that I'm inappropriately dressed, but inappropriately dressed to listen to this.
Well, I wouldn't know. I only see you from the waist up, but, yeah.
And the other thing that I was thinking about as I was listening to this was there's the second part of the first verse says, "You're Superman gonna do the super best he can to free the pearl, giving you the superness that he can do. Believe me, girl." And I'm like, is this one of those weird like 1980s euphemisms that they're being really, really dirty, but you don't know about it? And because like we've lost kind of some slang translation in the last 44 years, or like it just was an interesting choice of words, I thought.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Honestly, like I said, as we set this up, I don't believe this is the end all be all lyrically. But the music aspect of this, I've discarded the lyrics for so many years. I didn't even know what they said until I found them to you. Yeah.
Okay. Finally, I really liked this song until the scatting bridge. And that was the point at which I was just like, I don't love this. But the song itself is great. Those keyboard hits on the chorus are like, well, they're back in style right now. So all of the keyboards going on in the background, the synthesizer sounds in this are all like super popular right now amongst the kids these days. And so I loved that part of it because it's super nostalgic, but it also is super modern and current. So well done on that. And then the last two things I wanted to point out in my notes that I took on this were, first off, this is very, very Al Jarreau, Al Green-ish sounding to me. And I thought maybe it would fall into that kind of category of person. If I got one of those right, I'd be shocked.
I can see where you would say that, though.
But then I started thinking through, with the way that the keyboard solo is in this, it has to be someone who plays the keyboard. Otherwise, it wouldn't be like Al Jarreau or Al Green. And finally, there's a great documentary right now on HBO Max, which, by the way, has gone through stupid branding changes again, but that's a whole nother story. And it's called Yacht Rock, the documentary. And what came out of that documentary is Yacht Rock itself, if you consider what would be considered Yacht Rock, Yacht Rock actually falls into one of several different groups that form the basis for yacht rock. And so if you look at Christopher Cross, Michael McDonald, Kenny Loggins, Steely Dan, and Toto, they all end up being like yacht rock bands, and they all have a bunch of similar stuff in style. And it turns out they all were playing on each other's albums, and they're all interconnected, but you would never know that. They like, right. Those bands made yacht rock. And so I was thinking about that as I was listening to this, because it reminds me a lot of the production style, some of the same jazz chords they use in yacht rock. And so this very much fell in line with that, but it wasn't on the documentary. So that's why... I was thinking about it.
You know, you are always very good at finding these little gems, music wise, on Netflix and Amazon Prime and now HBO Max. And why don't companies know rebranding is the main kind of the death wish, you know?
Yes. Yes.
They're like, oh, we'll just change our name. Oh, okay. Great. And we go back to Twitter. Although it seems to be working out, but I still call it X Twitter. But anyway. Well, would you like to know a little bit more?
I want to know all the things.
So as I said, 1981, the song,
Let Your Love Ring Out, is that what it's called?
No, it's actually called Easy, but I can see that. No, I mean, Easy is the name of the song.
That makes sense.
I like one word songs so much. Just break it down, right? Oh, speaking of breaking it down, the album was Breaking Away, 1981.
Oh,
yeah, okay. It was a breakout album for this artist. By the way, I actually like the scatting a lot. Mm. What some people can do with their voice is,
and there's our song title, our episode title. Phil likes scat.
Yeah, that's right. Well, scat has many definitions, doesn't it? this artist actually passed away. Gosh, just over 8 years ago, and he was 76. He is very well known for scatting. He's got Grammy Awards. The one that you might know, the title song to this album, Breaking Away, he won Best Male Pop Vocal Performance in 1982.
For this song?
Not this song, but the title song off this album, Breaking Away. Okay. Breaking Away. You probably would know him more for the song This Love, We're in This Love Together.
I don't know if I know that song. Not by the title.
We're in This Love Together.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is Al Jarreau.
I thought you were right.
You were right. It's so funny. So this will never make YouTube because we have trouble enough with Spotify playing our episodes and the, you know, copyright issues that go with YouTube. But watching Chris during the song juke and jiving like I was, and then watching him celebrate his win right there. it's a lot of fun.
Because I often think of these, you know, you play something, it happens often with us, where you'll play something and I'll think, oh, that sounds just like so-and-so. You know, yeah, it does, but it's not. Yeah, so to get one right. I love it.
Well, I had to kind of string it along a little bit. Won the best jazz vocalist multiple times from the Downbeat Critics Poll as well. But this song itself didn't ever really do anything. The album was a massive success. By the time this episode drops, it will be likely June 30. Maybe, right. Who knows? But that's when it dropped in 1981, peaked at number 9 on the Billboard 200, spent 2 years on the Billboard 200, and reached number 1 on both reached number 1 on both the jazz and R&B charts, certified platinum by the RIAA, which is the Record something Associations of America. What's
I'm letting you stumble. It's a Recording Industry Association of America.
There you go. Okay. I got like 63% of that. But this song, you know what? Did, yeah, go ahead.
No, what's funny I find about songs like this is obviously an album cut, right? That didn't get released as a single, or did it?
No, I don't believe so. No, it was a B-side though, off the song We're in This Love Together.
Oh, interesting. You know, it's funny because at the time that this would have been released, B-sides were still a thing. Like, things still got released on 45s at that point. And when you start thinking through, like, the A-side and the B-side of this, especially back in 81, you still didn't have radio that was so heavily programmed. And so oftentimes what would happen is a DJ, a song would get released as a single, and there's a bunch of political reasons why the B-side is that way. So, for example, Mike Nesmith negotiated a deal with the Monkee where many of their singles were released with a song he wrote on the B-side. So he would get composer royalties for every single the Monkees would sell. It's same thing would happen with a lot of early rock and roll, where the company or the guy that owned the record company would get songwriter credits on the B side, so that they can make a bunch of money on the single. And so it's interesting that and sometimes those singles, the B sides, would get picked up and in rare occasions would become the hit. So Maybe I'm Amazed from Paul McCartney is that. It was released on a B-side as a live B-side single for another Wings song. And it originally was released on McCartney, the original McCartney album from 1970. Yeah. And it never did anything. And then it got released as a B-side and some DJ started playing it and it got huge because of that. And so this could have had that opportunity, but for whatever reason it didn't, which is fascinating to me.
However, in the UK, it did.
Yeah.
Make it.
Oh, interesting.
So in September, it debuted at number 67 in the UK. It peaked at number 55 September 27th, and then it started its downward. It went to 56, then 73. It spent 4 weeks on the UK charts. So,
fascinating. I like this song. I don't know why it wouldn't have been. It fits the time frame perfectly. It fits his popularity perfectly. It's kind of a shock that it wasn't a bigger hit.
I think so. It's funny because, you know, I never know about these things as has been well documented with the Woolberries tune, because a lot of times I'm hearing music and it, as you've pointed out with you and your kids listening to songs, that they're like, how come nobody knows this song? We've listened to it for 20 years, right? And so that's this song here. That album was so monumental to me. And so I reached out to a couple people that I know enjoy Al Jarreau, like his music. And I'm like, is this a song that most people know? And they're like, no, but it's so Al Jarreau, you know?
It is very Al Jarreau.
Yeah, and so he's got a song called Roof Garden that I wanted to, for years, hey, we've done this for years now. I wanted to bring that song to the table. But
yes,
unless you really like scatting and really different voices, which that song brings to the table, and the live version of that is so good, I opted to do this one instead. So I'm glad you know Roof Garden. I'm glad I didn't bring it then.
That's probably a good move.
So I'm glad you like the song, most of it, but I do like the scatting.
Well, I'm good. I'm glad you do, because that would make it one of the greatest songs I've never heard.
Oh, that's so cool. What a way to knock this episode 116 down. Now we have them semi-numbered, so we can keep track.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Well, with that, we want to thank you for listening to our humble podcast. We're not as regular as we'd like to be. Part of that's because we're getting old, and part of it's because life gets busy. You can make of those phrases whatever you wish. But we do appreciate you listening. And Phil, why don't you tell people where they can find us outside of just this feed?
Whether you are in a regular state of mind or irregular, you can always go to our website, which is thegreatestsongyouneverheard.com. We are on X Twitter, as we've talked before, at GSYNH Podcast. And of course, the only other place is Facebook, and that's The Greatest Song You Never Heard. Yep.
Awesome. And with that, we will see you, feel you, touch you, taste you next time on The Greatest Song You've Never Heard Podcast. We'll be right back.